Shifting to the Iran dimension of U.S. foreign policy, and there are several threads here that need to be untangled. Let's start with the most politically charged one. President Trump's response to the deaths of two American soldiers killed by an Iranian strike at a Jordanian airbase last week. Rather than simply expressing condolences or vowing accountability, Trump suggested in public statements that other operators could have prevented the attack, essentially implying that Jordan's defensive posture, not Iranian aggression, was at fault.
Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer responded forcefully, saying that Trump's Truth Social post, which listed the 18 military deaths alongside the death tolls from Vietnam and the Korean War, was beneath contempt. And honestly, from a pure political optics standpoint, regardless of where you are on the partisan spectrum, comparing two soldiers killed in a recent Iranian strike to Vietnam's 58,000 casualties is a comparison that many military families and veterans groups have found deeply offensive. Schumer's language was sharp, but the underlying political terrain here is that Trump is trying to frame this incident as a management failure rather than an act of Iranian aggression.
The reason that framing matters strategically is this. If Jordan's defenses are at fault, then the U.S. has less obligation to escalate against Iran. If Iranian aggression is the primary cause, the pressure to respond militarily is much higher. Trump has been trying to manage a delicate situation. He conducted strikes on Iranian nuclear facilities earlier this year, and now Iran is retaliating through proxies and direct strikes. The Jordan's fault narrative gives him political cover to de-escalate without appearing weak.
Iran, for its part, is playing its own information management game. The regime is now publicly denying any nuclear activity at a site called Pickaxe Mountain, following Trump's threat to strike the location. The name itself is evocative. Pickaxe Mountain is believed by Western intelligence to be a hardened underground facility. Iran's denial is almost certainly intended to reduce the political justification for a U.S. strike, while also buying time for diplomatic positioning.
What makes this particularly complex is that the U.S. is simultaneously trying to pressure Iran through economic means and through the threat of force, while also managing an active military engagement that has already cost American lives. There's no clean off-ramp here. The Hormuz crisis, referenced in that consumer survey showing 81% of Americans linking it to grocery prices, means that any significant escalation in the Persian Gulf has immediate economic consequences for ordinary Americans, which creates political constraints on military options.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio has added another layer to this by instructing U.S. diplomats worldwide to counter what he's calling kill switch talk, the idea that the U.S. is seeking to acquire or maintain backdoor controls over critical technology systems in allied countries. This is partly about reassuring partners who are nervous about U.S. reliability and partly about pushing back against Chinese and Russian narratives that frame American technology as a surveillance or coercion tool. The timing during active Middle East tensions is notable.
And then there's the broader question of how U.S. allies in the region perceive this moment. New York City Mayor Zohran Mamdani made news by publicly admitting that New York City cannot arrest Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu despite the International Criminal Court warrant and urging the federal government to act. Mamdani was being honest about jurisdictional limits, but the comment reflects the broader pressure on U.S. officials from progressive constituencies to take a harder line on Israel, even as the administration is simultaneously managing active Iranian hostility. It's a genuinely difficult set of competing pressures.
What I'll say as a bottom line on the Middle East segment is that the U.S. posture right now looks strategically overextended. Active military casualties in Jordan, a nuclear standoff with Iran over Pickaxe Mountain, Hormuz Strait disruptions affecting global commodity prices, and an Israeli-Palestinian dimension that's generating domestic political pressure from the left. There's no obvious path to de-escalation on all of these fronts simultaneously, and the diplomatic bandwidth required to manage them all is enormous.